The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Werke, Judge Johnson, the Honorable Jennifer L. Frisch presiding.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is June 16, 2022. We are here for our final of three oral arguments on our calendar this morning, A21-1506, Athman versus Wolf. Counsel, there's only one of you arguing today. You'll have 15 minutes for your argument. I just ask that you state your name and identify your client before you begin, and you may start anytime.
Thank you. My name is Rich Kenley. I'm the attorney for the appellant, Brad Athman. Well, to start out, what we have here is a dispute over land. It is essentially an adverse possession claim going on, what I believe is an abuse or minimum of misuse of 609-748, the harassment restraining order statute. The facts are that there is a case over the property line dispute that's cited in my brief. It's a whole separate case between my client and the family of the respondent in this case, plus several other neighbors about where the property line is. Is the road part of it? That's not before us today. That's not before you, but that case is out there and exists. In that case, the other side or the respondent's family sought injunctive relief and was denied by the court. My client then had a survey done, paid for it, to show where the property lines were. Subsequent to that, he finds an ice castle, which is a pretty good size. It's somewhere between a camper and an ice fishing house. It can be used either way. And a large truck parked on what he certainly believes is his property. He couldn't find the survey marker. Well, he did find the survey marker tossed into the bush, in the bushes out behind where the ice castle was parked. From there, the sheriff comes out. Both sides called the sheriff. The deputy Justin Evans, the testimony demonstrates there was no misconduct, no threatening activity by the appellant in this matter. He's accused of intrusive and unwanted acts. Well, I guess in a way, telling somebody to move their vehicle,
Mr. Kenley,
or camper off your land.
Yes, question sir. About your factual statement so far. I'm wondering how many times did he visit the property, or the disputed property, at least, you know, as far as the evidence shows. And I guess one reason for my question is on the video recordings that we've seen, some of them, there's I think 10 or 11 or 12 different video files, separate recordings. Some of them I think clearly are the same day, but I also think some of them might be the same visit, so that the two videos might be consecutive, perhaps even, you know, duplicative. I'm just unclear. Does the evidence clearly show a finite number of times that he visited the property?
I believe he was there on more than one day, Your Honor. I don't think it was all just clips from one day. I think he went back a second and possibly a third day.
I know that, but I'm wondering if you've taken the time to add up the number of visits.
I haven't, Your Honor, an exact number, no. I've reviewed all the videos as far as the conduct in them, and the conduct shows that he was essentially walking around with a marker stake in his hand, looking at the ground.
My questions is whether, as far as the evidence reflects, why it was necessary to visit multiple times.
I think he was just trying to find the marker on the ground, Your Honor.
Okay.
I mean, if he'd found it, he would have tried to put the marker in. But of course, the one day the deputy came and everybody talked, and the deputy, I think, as I said, put oil on the water, so to speak. But I don't think he was out there trying to yell at people to the extent that one day there might have been some yelling about getting your property off,
Mr.
your stuff.
Kenley,
but
can you hear me?
Yes, okay? Ma'am. I can. Yes.
I have bad audio. You know what bothers me about this case, which I guess is favorable to your client, is the way the order read, and it seems to be remiss in terms of making credibility findings. There was nothing that I came across or pointed out to me, if there was, that gave any credibility to your client that that's what he was doing, looking for the survey. I mean, he did testify that that's his purpose. Can you point to anything in the record that would help your client out in that way?
Well, the video itself shows him with the marker in his hand, and I don't think he was swatting the mosquitoes with it. If you look at the video from my review of it.
Well, right, but we're reviewing court, so we're not going to make credibility determinations. And I guess that's what bothers me. If there was anything that was specifically made on the record that may not have been reflected in the order, that you can point us to showing that your client was doing as he represented. Perception is all about perception.
Well, I mean, he gave his testimony, Your Honor, that's what he was there to do when he took pictures of the. I'm not sure why, if you were there to harass people, you would take photos, you know, proof that you'd been there. That wouldn't make any sense. I just his testimony, but I don't think the referee made any specific findings about credibility, Your Honor. I didn't see any, and that was part of my argument.
Can I ask a different question? My review of the record, including Ms. Wolf's testimony, or especially Ms. Wolf's testimony, seems to indicate that she only had one person-to-person interaction with your client, and that was in the presence of the deputy that arrived at the property when both of them called for assistance. Is that right? There was only one time that they actually had any face-to-face interaction?
Your Honor, that was her testimony. I believe there is some other testimony that I elicited on cross-exam that she may have run into him inadvertently at the local watering hole restaurant, but they'd never actually talked or had anything in between them at that time. The only time she'd ever had any sort of speaking or words with him was that one time, yes.
And that would be reflected on the video where the deputy shows up, right?
Yes, it would.
So we have the video of their one and only personal interaction. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, okay. It is.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Mr. Kenley, the interaction at the local watering hole that you just referenced, what was the time period of that?
According to Ms. Wolf's testimony, it was earlier, a fair amount of time earlier. They live in the same area.
Can you be more specific? I mean, do you mean a month, a year, a decade?
6 months. What? Within 6 months before, Your Honor, was my best recollection.
Okay.
Go ahead, Your Honor.
The district court made a finding or a statement in paragraph 2 of the order saying that he continued to go to the property and then, quote, even after being asked to not do so, end quote. Is there evidence to support that particular statement that he was asked not to do so?
No, Your Honor. The deputy didn't ask him not to. I think on the video, you can see Ms. Wolf's husband walking away and yell, get out of here. That was the extent of the whole thing. And then the rest of the video shows the appellant and the deputy talking for a few minutes and then leaving. The deputy certainly didn't tell him not to come around there. There was no other interaction between the Wolfs and Mr. Athman. Certainly nobody handed him a letter or walked up to him. And certainly on the video with their one interaction, the only thing was get out of here or get lost or something to that effect that was yelled while the deputy was there. And that was yelled at Mr. Athman.
Am I correct that the district court order in the separate case that denied a request for a TRO or the like, was that document in the record of this case, or was that the fact that such a temporary restraining order was denied? Was that in the record in this case?
Your Honor, I filed it with the court, and the best I could do was to get the referee to take judicial notice of it, Your Honor.
And did the referee agree and take judicial notice?
According to the transcript, he did, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask about that? I mean, when I read the record, it said that the district court said it was taking judicial notice of the file. And I'm a little perplexed by that. We usually take judicial notice of facts that are not reasonably subject to dispute. Is there anything else that perhaps that I missed about what exactly the district court was taking judicial notice of?
Well, What I filed, Your Honor, were pleadings that was basically the application for the TRO, the affidavit in support of it by, I believe, Marlo Wolf, I think the mother-in-law of the respondent here. I was just trying to show that there, to show the district court that there was an issue underlying this and that they would have been seeking this relief and had failed to get it in what I thought would be the proper course on a property dispute. And the referee said he would take judicial notice, so I didn't beat a dead horse at that point. We went forward with the hearing.
Your request was to take judicial notice of the fact that the TRO asking him not to have any contact with property or on the property would be denied.
That, yes, and that I believe was against several parties.
Okay.
Mr. Kenley, apart from the judicial notice, was there any other evidence in the record that your client was aware of a prior ruling that denied a request for a temporary restraining order to keep him off the property?
No, Your Honor. That had been, the Judge Senek had dismissed that, and there's nothing else in the record, Your Honor, no. I think that's still a pending case. I can try to summarize. I don't, unless you have more questions, obviously, I don't feel that the conduct that of asking someone to move their property, to take the castle, ice castle, and the truck off the property, I don't believe that rises to the level of harassment under the statute. I've cited it in the brief, obviously, but there was no intent to harass the man. Mr. Athman was asking that the property be removed off what he believed was his property and with a pending adverse possession claim, essentially. The respondent's family wants the ownership of this land. And now, via the use of the harassment restraining order statute, by the respondent's own testimony and affidavit, because he was, quote, peeking in the windows of the camper, which there is no evidence of. And I would point out, at some point, I think in the hearing, the respondent said, well, he did it around back when the cameras couldn't see him. Well, that's wholly inconsistent to what she'd actually already testified to and what she put in her affidavit. She said that she watched the videos of Mr. Athman peeking in the windows. That's flat out false. Asking somebody to move their property is not an act of harassment. It doesn't rise to that level. I believe it was an abuse of discretion at several levels by the district court. And I respectfully ask that this matter be reversed.
All right. Are there any other questions from the panel this morning?
One more, I guess. Maybe this has been covered, but I guess, is there evidence by Ms. Wolf that there were visits by your client other that were not recorded by video? That's my question. Do you understand my question? I'm wondering whether it's her testimony or her evidence that, in addition to the visits to the disputed property that were video recorded, whether there were other visits that were not video recorded.
I don't recall, Your Honor. I've read most of the transcript, but I haven't read the whole thing in the last day or so. So she may have made those allegations. I just don't honestly remember.
All right. Anything else from the panel this morning? All right. Thank you, Mr. Kenley. The matter is under advisement, and we will issue an opinion within the statutory time period. Okay. That concludes our calendar this morning. Thank you very much.